WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Texas, hopes are dimming for finding any survivors of the devastating flooding, but searchers like Ryan Loge are still combing the banks of the Guadalupe River.
We're out there early and we're out there till we're falling over. When you looked at these guys, we were exhausted. They were emotionally tired by looking at the devastation, finding children's Bibles on the ground, you know, looking through people's wreckage of their life. It takes a toll on you.
104 people were killed, many more missing. President Trump threatening to impose higher tariffs on more than a dozen countries, including Japan and South Korea, if trade deals cannot be reached by August 1st. The president holding his first cabinet meeting this hour without Elon Musk. The administration announcing a plan to secure U.S. farmland and farmers from nations like China having a stake in U.S. farming production. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says she's already canceled several contracts. The TSA about to announce taking your shoes off will no longer be required at checkpoints. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WGBW News, I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for Lisa Hale. A federal judge has temporarily blocked a move to cut Medicaid funding from Planned Parenthood. The two-week restraining order, issued by a U.S. district judge, directs the Department of Health and Human Services to keep that funding in place for now. Planned Parenthood filed the lawsuit after President Trump signed a new federal tax and spending bill last Friday. While that law doesn't name Planned Parenthood directly, the group says a provision in the bill would stop Medicaid reimbursements to any health provider that offers abortions. Here's Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin.
The congressional bill that would defund Planned Parenthood would make Planned Parenthood essentially a prohibited entity, meaning it could not seek reimbursement from Medicaid for services like contraception care, gender-affirming care, STI treatment, testing, cancer screening.
Velasquez spoke at a press conference last Wednesday, just hours after the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the state's 1849 abortion ban. For decades, federal funding for abortions themselves have been blocked under the Hyde Amendment. But Planned Parenthood says under the new law, any of its services would be blocked from Medicaid reimbursement. Services like STI testing and treatment, or contraception, which together composed about 75% of its services to about 2 million patients last year. The organization says just 4% of its services were abortion-related. In Wisconsin, 54% of Planned Parenthood's revenue came from Medicaid, according to its 2022-2023 annual report, which also says it serves roughly 50,000 patients in Wisconsin each year. Nearly half live at or below the poverty line. Planned Parenthood operates 21 clinics across Wisconsin. Three of them provide abortion services. For WGBW News, I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for Lisa Hale.
A big win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers dominated the Dodgers in Milwaukee last night, 9-1. Six scoreless innings pitched by Freddie Peralta. The bullpen held up. Home runs by Christian Yelich. And newcomer, first baseman Andrew Vaughn, manager Pat Murphy.
That's how we have to play. We have to take our walks when they're there. We have to run the bases, play defense, take your walks, then you get a knock, and then you get another knock. And then once in a while, you pop one. That's who we have to be.
The Dodgers have now lost four in a row. On Friday, they lost at home to the Astros, 18-1. We spoke to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We got to pitch better. We got to defend better. We got to take more competitive at bats. We're just not doing any of those things right now. So, yeah, you look back 4 or 5 days ago, things look more positive. But this is a time for us to kind of look at ourselves and be better.
Game two tonight, Clayton Kershaw on the mound for L.A. against the Brewers rookie, the Miz, Jacob Mizrahi. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today with high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch will be here to take a look at Wisconsin headlines, including back at the state budget. And hey, what's worse for you, being sore or being sick? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The birds in the garden don't come anymore since the water rose up in July. The badgers and squirrels and rabbits are gone. There's little land left, which is dry. The house that we've lived in for 23 years is now two-thirds under the water. And it's the first time we've wished that we lived somewhere else since the glorious day that we bought her. Home for us now is a barn miles away, with the rest of our neighbors and friends, all of us cursing our luck and our loss and wondering if we'll ever go home again. My wife is in tears for most of the time, and my own tears won't take much to fall due to the work that we've recently done, redecorating the hall. I can't help but think of the garden and yard so beautifully kept and arranged, and the money it cost for landscaping last year. I guess all of that's now down the drain. Along with a collection of poems and verse and the occasional attempt at a song that I've hoarded like gold since 10 years of age, all of that stuff is also gone. All of our belongings downstairs, I suspect, will be ruined by water and silt. But I suppose we are fortunate, considering all, that no one around here has been killed. You hear on the news about earthquakes and floods, but don't think it'll happen to you. And it doesn't occur to you, if it did, exactly how much you would lose. And it never has flooded around these parts before, so I suppose we should blame global warming. We got a deluge of rain in 48 hours that hit our neighborhood without warning. The sandbags they gave us were useless at best, and the pumps that we bought little better. It seemed the more water we pumped out into the street, the ground floor of our house just got wetter. Of course, we were determined, like everyone else, to fight it the best that we could. With the furniture floating all over the house, we soon realized it is no good. We were fighting a battle against nature itself and soon learned there was no way to win. When for safety, we found ourselves up on the roof and my wife still unable to swim. So when the dinghy came for us, we climbed in and left, just grateful to get out alive. We lost everything, but still grateful to God that everyone we know has survived. That's The Flood by S.E. Ralph. We now know that over 100 people, including at least 27 kids from Camp Mystic, died in the flood in Texas. There were floods around Texas. That was the worst. We know that extreme weather events are on the rise. And who is telling the truth about what's going on? who is getting a root cause and what are the solutions. This is the Tom Hartman Show. I am Jefferson Smith sitting in. The call-in number here is 202-808-9925, 202-808-9925. It is Tuesday, Newsday. What are the most important stories that we need to be covering? And what are the angles that are being missed? Today in the New York Times podcast, it was a love letter to Camp Mystic, a woman who had grown up in, spent six different summers at that camp. It's an all-girls Christian camp. And it was a little heartbreaking to know not only that those children had died, but also that so many more impacted by that loss and even by the idea of that loss. But I was struck that the way the New York Times decided to cover it was as a love letter. And I was also struck by the comment when the woman who was interviewed was asked what they should, what she thought. She said, well, somebody should do something. They should probably spend money on something. And there'll be talk about sirens. Sirens are probably a good idea. There'll be talk about downstream effects. Isn't it interesting? We talk about climate change policy and environmental policy. Very often what we're talking about is upstream versus downstream effects. You want to do things upstream because that impacts everything downstream. Too often we'll build a dam, metaphorically speaking, downstream, or we'll build a levee downstream, or we'll have to build something to clean the water downstream when the problem is actually happening upstream. Isn't it interesting that in this case, the metaphor doesn't even need to be a leap from stream to flood? What should we be doing upstream from the flood? What should we be doing not only to deal with the results of our negligence, the results of our failure to take care of our public systems, the results of our failure to take care of the natural environment, the results of our failure to address climate change earlier when we knew in the 1970s, and but for a significant rise of the current right wing, we would right now be in a very different place and be already acting on. Heck, the big bill that happened gutted much of the progress on investing in 21st century worthy solutions and climate change worthy investments. And so even the august New York Times, the best news organization in the world, focuses on the downstream impact of what happened to those lives. And it is just and it is right. It is accurate. It is good journalism in many respects because it is tragic. But where should we be spending even more attention? Even more attention should be spent upstream. What are we doing not only on sirens? Sirens a little more downstream. Sirens upstream from people dying, that's for sure. But what's upstream from sirens? Good warning systems, emergency collaboration and coordination, making sure that weather services are staffed, making sure NOAA isn't gutted, making sure the National Weather Service isn't gutted, making sure local and state and local weather services aren't gutted, and knowing that a lot of federal money goes to the local services. What's upstream from that? Upstream from that is, of course, addressing climate change. We've got to get upstream. It is right and just and important for our thoughts and prayers to go out to families who lost lives in a flood. It breaks my heart a little bit. And if we want to be honest about what we should do, let's think not only about downstream, but about upstream. Today is Tuesday Newsday. What are the most important stories we need to be covering? We will have news of my dad at the top of the next hour. Couple things that have already come up. We know now that a new poll came out about democracy, and 76% of Americans think that democracy is under serious threat. I think that is an opportunity. To be clear, that is not an all-time high. The all-time high was before the election. Back then, it was like 87%. But back then, 57% of Republicans. Excuse me, back then 87% of Republicans said there was a serious threat. But then after Biden was defeated, it went down to 50, Republicans went down to 55%. Democrats went a little up. I think there is opportunity there. I think there's opportunity there. I think right now there is an opportunity for bipartisan, nonpartisan messaging around democracy itself, around voting systems, around, yes, even campaign finance. We passed that in my town with, was it 89% of the vote? the supermajorities in both major parties and among independents. Around, I think, even citizen juries has an opportunity to start building purchase, start building momentum. That when we look at the news, yeah, we look at the news, want you to know it, but we also want you to think upstream about what's causing it, and also think about what the opportunities are, what needs to be built. And I don't need to torture the metaphor further to say whether it's levees or dams or windmills. I think a windmill could be built. Energy could be built from the current distrust of democracy. We'll talk about that and more coming up. It's Tom's show. It's your show. I'm Jeff. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with Tom Hartman Show, 202-808-9925. We've got the lines open.
If you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee to your county, and just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property and you won't even know it's happened till you get a collection or foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home's title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. And that's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes. And if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Protect yourself like I did. Don't be a victim. Protect your equity today. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's HometitleLock.com/Tom.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report, we told you that 96% of New York City voters found ranked choice voting easy to use and liked that it gave voters more options. So why have 17 states banned ranked choice voting, including 5 just this year? Pro-voter groups tout RCV because it allows voters to choose a favorite candidate without being a spoiler, can reduce negative ads and rhetoric, and eliminates expensive runoff elections. Alaska implemented ranked choice voting in 2022's congressional race, but after upstart Democrat Mary Pottola defeated former Republican Governor Sarah Palin, RCV was blamed. A resolution by the Republican National Committee opposing RCV nationally followed, and Alaska voters had to beat back a repeal initiative in 2024. While used in Maine, Alaska, D.C., and 47 municipalities nationwide, 17 red states have now banned it, including Kansas, North Dakota, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Arkansas. Party leadership and the RNC resolution argue that RCV is hard to understand and suppresses turnout. But where it's been implemented, voter satisfaction is often over 80%. In the New York City primary, 9 of 10 voters said they understood it, and turnout was the highest in decades. Organizers have more work to do. Voters defeated pro-RCV ballot measures in 5 states last year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out.
Do you trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorant for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet. Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants here used to just mask odors or neutralize them after they form. But Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. Use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving him. If it's not for you, they'll refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide your first Mando purchase with code TOM at shopmando.com. Shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with code TOM at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. We're back. And over the break, talking to Catherine, it occurred to us and it occurred to me, this piece of the New York Times story, I'll say it again, where they were concerned with child safety. They trained on it. And according to the woman interviewed, they, when she attended the camp, had a guard in a turret, in a post with a shotgun, in case somebody came to harm somebody or steal something. Meanwhile, they didn't have flood sirens. What was actually the real threat? What does that remind you of? It reminds me of the United States of America. When we think that the threat is an external invader, when the threat is stuff we are doing, stuff that we see happening all the time, problems we are causing that we could do something about. Not only do we focus too much on downstream and not enough on upstream, but as Catherine said, our priorities are out of whack, and we are thinking about what is a TV threat, what like makes a good shoot 'em up, what could we stop with a gun? Guess how useful a gun is during a flood? I mean, maybe useful if there's a riot related to the flood, but not very useful to the water itself. And a political movement that is focused so much on ensuring more and more people can buy larger and larger arsenals of war weapons that is insufficiently focused on what the real threat is, that's not a government that can be trusted. That is not a movement that should have leadership. So I do want us to be thinking, as we do Tuesday Newsday, putting the stories in context. That is something that this community can do, something that this show can do, rather than just headlines washing over the transom of our brains so quickly. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Gabrielle, I think, from Linwood, Washington. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm so excited to be able to talk today. I've tried a few times recently. I live north of Seattle. I'm fourth generation Washingtonian. I work in horticulture. My mother and my grandma, we're all gardeners and farmers.
Nice.
And I'm watching the trees die. I'm watching the trees die in Seattle. They die from the top down. I want people to start looking at their trees. Our western red cedars are dying from the top down.
The signs might be obvious. The signs might be obvious. Gabrielle, just a second. The signs might be obvious, but when people are seeing the trees die, is it as simple as looking and seeing branches and leaves wither, or are there signs people should look for? What do you see? And I can tell it impacts you.
They die from the top down because there's not enough moisture in the soil.
Yeah.
A tree is a sump pump. It draws water up.
Yeah.
By opening the stomates in its leaves. The water comes up and then they transpire through their leaves. There's now not enough water to sump in our soil in the Northwest where it used to be wet 11 months of the year. Now it feels like Northern Arizona. I'm not the only one saying this. My friends too notice. So that sump pump is no longer working.
Yeah.
The Western red cedars are turning yellow. They're off color. You can see through them. They're not dense. Our vine maples, native maple, turning fall color, dead branches. I noticed that yesterday. Take photos of your favorite tree every week. It'll be dead. No more logging. No more cutting down live trees. Fight your city council. Fight them. Go in there and say, hey, this is true. We will not have more trees growing to this size. A tree you plant now will never be the size that these are getting. Our climate has changed. We must preserve and protect, preserve and protect, preserve and protect all that we have left. We are going into this extinction really quickly. If you live by a river, nobody's going to tell you what's going on. Find someone. Go to your local science junior high teacher. They'll tell you what to do. They'll tell you where to go. Learn about watersheds. Learn about trees. Learn how to grow food.
Thank you, Gabrielle. I appreciate the call.
I'm screaming, and nobody's paying attention. Even horticulturalists here are still buying plants that they want to try to grow from China. It's insane.
So it does.
Okay.
It does.
Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Thanks for sounding an alarm. I appreciate it. Before we go to break, I'll just say. On Earth Day, when I was, I think, 16, my dad, my brother, and I planted a sequoia. I don't know if that was the right tree to plant because it's absolutely enormous now. And we have thought that someday, and it's now, you know, it's now the tallest tree on the street. We thought someday it may just get too big and start tearing things up. I have a different fear now. It's related to yours. I got a 3-page letter from a handwritten note from a neighbor saying, see that browning that's happening on your trees starting in about August? It's because your tree is dying. That's because there's not enough water table, not enough water under it. It's not allowing the sump pump to function. So I hear you talking. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Preserve and protect. Preserve and protect. Preserve and protect. 202-808-9925.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Maggie Dawn.
Lindsay Owens joins me at 5 o'clock to talk about the impacts of the big brutal bill on your pocketbook, as well as Donald Trump's renewed trade war. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
For WGBW News, I'm Sholly Pittman, filling in for Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers issued nearly 24 partial vetoes last week when he signed the state budget into law at 1:30 in the morning on Thursday, less than an hour after lawmakers had passed it. Perhaps the most significant veto, according to the governor himself, was the removal of a 2029 deadline to close Green Bay Correctional Institution. Governor Evers has proposed closing the prison as part of a broader overhaul of the state's correction system. He proposed that plan back in February and said it would cost $500 million. But last week, the governor said the legislature hadn't engaged with his plan or proposed their own. And he said he objected to setting a firm deadline without having a plan in place.
You know, saying that we're going to do Green Bay by 29 doesn't mean a damn thing. We have to start working on this.
So he removed the deadline for an overhaul by 2029. Still, the budget keeps $15 million to begin planning for a prison realignment and the potential closure of Green Bay Correctional. Jim Rafter, the village president of Alloway, where the prison is based, called the veto a sign of broken government. He says the time for studies has, quote, come and gone, and that the village deserves a timeline. Republican reps David Steffen of Howard and Benjamin Franklin of DePere also criticized the move. They say Green Bay is structurally unsafe, older than Alcatraz, and that a firm deadline would have forced the state to act. A federal magistrate judge is recommending that criminal charges against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan move forward. Dugan's accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid ICE agents. The case heads back to U.S. District Judge Lynn Edelman, who will determine whether the case moves forward. For WGBW News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today with high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll chat with Jeff Larson from the Green Bay Sail and Paddle, and Christine Schutze is in from the New Zoological Society with details on their Feast with the Beasts event.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
So much for all of your support.
Did you know know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you can be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
Back. This is Tom Hartman Show. I am Jeff Smith sitting in. Let's go straight to your calls. Brian from Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I like to say that I think natural disasters are going to be the wild card in America's politics for the next several decades. Excuse me, I was shoveling. Caught my breath. But anyway, I think it's very important, and I wish the Democrat leading politicians would start talking about the need to build a more resilient American society. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot of effort to get through this next century.
Yep.
And if we think about how calamitous and violent the previous 100 years were, I think we're going to be lucky if the next 100 years are only half as much or a third as much. But it's a lot of effort, and I think people are naive and ignorance is bliss, and they don't want to be confronted with the realities of what's coming. I follow the climate issue pretty close. I try and do a lot of reading on it. Basically, mankind is doing an experiment on the planet in itself. We've raised the level of greenhouse gases up to levels that were, there were no human beings around last time there was so much carbon dioxide in the air. Mm-hmm. And we're doing an experiment on our food supply. Mm-hmm. You know, we're barely feeding the 8 billion people on the planet now. Mm-hmm. And with the climate, droughts, changing weather patterns, flooding, you know, it's pretty much baked in the cake. The oceans are going to rise. We haven't even stopped producing or dumping greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. They're going to hang around a long time. Everything's melting. The oceans are going to rise. And trillions of dollars in American real estate is going to get wiped out in the next 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the conservatives, you know, people that back Trump, deny it. They don't want to be confronted with that reality, because if they admit that climate change is real and a lot of people are going to get hurt, then that's going to put an expiration date on tons and tons of property up and down the coast.
Yep.
And then a lot of American citizens are going to wake up to that fact and say, hey, what's the government doing to come up with a plan to build resiliency in our society?
No,
and the Republican answer, of course, is nothing.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree with you, Brian.
Republican, it's just, you know, it's...
Yeah, go ahead and finish your point, Brian.
Well, I just... You know, people need to wake up to what's coming.
Agreed.
And part of the resiliency is at the individual level, too. And I could talk about that more, but that's basically what I wanted to say today.
Brian, thank you so much for your call, and I agree really strongly. I don't think everything is about political power, but I do want this to be a place where we can talk about strategy, where we can make a little bit smarter of a progressive movement, a pro-democracy movement, a pro-social movement. If you're a precinct committee person, help make your precinct committee people smarter. If you run a book club, make your book club a little smarter. If you're posting on social media, make your social media posts a little smarter. If you're voting and donating, make your votes and donation a little smarter. If you're a staffer for a once or future candidate, or if you are a once or future candidate yourself, that we make your campaign a little smarter. If you're a do-gooder consultant rather than somebody just trying to extract donations so you can build a second home, how can you be a little smarter? And I do think this is a necessarily winning issue. When I look for a winning issue, it is something that can be won and something that's worth winning. Not just sticking your finger in the air after you've wet it so you can see which way the wind is blowing, but anticipating the wind in the future and thinking about what needs to be built with that in mind. And Brian is absolutely right that we will be seeing, and what we'll be seeing, we are seeing. I don't think a season's going to go by when there isn't a major weather event that seems like a 100-year major weather event. And as somebody told us yesterday, how often does a 100-year weather event get to happen before it's no longer called a 100-year weather event? how do we turn that into a political movement? Part of the challenge we face is that the next tragedy wipes the collective memories of the previous tragedy. It is hard for us to remember. On Tuesday Newsday, I am reminded of the word news. It is not the word importance. It is not the word necessaries. It is not the word profounds or educationals. It is news. What is new? All of the things that are new. And therefore, the things that are, it's also not the olds or the a while agos. So if something happened a while ago, it doesn't make it to the news as much as what is new. So right now, there's a lot of focus on this flood, but almost in no story that is written by people who are in the news, who are trying to get clicks for right now, whose job isn't to save democracy, whose job is to get clicks for right now and to get subscribers for right now and for tomorrow, connecting, well, is there anything possibly similar to the fires in Southern California and the floods in Texas? What could it be? What possibly could, those are very different. One is fire and one is flood. It's fire and water. It's totally the opposite. And one is California, one is Texas. Well, it's totally different. It's like totally different place. Voted for different candidates for president. They're very different places. So nothing possibly could connect those things. And one is old and one is new. Yet again, an opposite. Very different. But wait. Maybe there is something that connects those two things. Maybe there is some global similarity, some national relationship. And of course there is. And it is our posture towards climate change, and it is our inability to prepare for it, and to use Brian's word, our insufficient building of resilience. What would that look like? That does look like how we build our homes. It does look like where we build our homes, and what do coastlines look like, and what do floodplains look like? It does mean having emergency funds. It does mean, I mean, heck, it probably means people planting fruit trees in their front yards. Because if food systems go down, wouldn't it be nice to have fruit, more and more fruit trees in urban and suburban areas? Access to food, access to water. It does mean water systems. It does mean clean water systems. That building a movement, so how do we turn this into something politically useful? And I don't mean capitalizing on a recent tragedy. I mean trying to work to anticipate a future one. Trying to prevent it and to make it clear if somebody's not on the side of preventing it when it does happen, that you build strength in that movement, a movement that's actually trying to preserve and protect, actually trying to help people, recognize what the real threat is. And the real threats, most of them aren't going to be stopped with a shotgun. That's not the real problem. That's not going to deal with what's happening with democracy. That's not going to deal with what's happening to wealth disparities. That's not what's happening to stress. That's not what's happening with healthcare. That's not what's happening with the natural environment or floods or fires, etc. Sometimes your doorstep trying to rob stuff, having a gun can feel very comforting. And there ain't nobody in political power that's actually trying to take away that gun from you, my gun-toting friends. But think about what the real threats are, where your attention should really be. And how can we build a movement that is addressing those things, and that's talking about it? So then there is moral authority and a little bit of memory to say, hey, see the stuff? We weren't Chicken Little. We weren't crying wolf. There really is a sky we're worried about. There really is something that might come and invade our camp. And it might not be a wolf, but it might be a flood. And part of the advantage here, part of the delta, and I don't mean the Mississippi delta, part of the difference in the mathematical symbol delta, part of the difference here is that if you are part of a political movement that has been denying climate change for decades, it's harder to prepare. It's just less likely that it comes up at the board meeting. It's less likely that someone on the staff says, hey, wait a minute, you know what? Why don't we put in sirens this year around the camp? If every radio show you're listening to, every TV show you're watching, if every candidate you vote for is telling you, liberal hogwash, God will save us, and if there's a flood, it's probably because he wants us dead. If what you're hearing is nothing to see here. Those are liberal radicals who say that science is real and that the environment matters and that all of us are small compared to the world. That if that is what you've been paying attention to, it's harder to build the gumption to say, you know what, let's spend a little extra on blank this year. Not only let's address climate change, but let's address downstream effects. It's just a little bit harder. So one of the reasons I want for us to have a transpartisan message is because one party will not be enough to address what's coming. No party that has 51% or 49% or 47% or 36% or even 53% will be enough to address what's coming. We need a transpartisan movement. I think that probably should start with one political party that seems to believe in climate change and believe in science, and it getting to 53% and getting a governing majority is probably the best hope.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hear Mino and the Mayor weekday mornings 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS. John and Jim are fans of Rebel Eddie's auto detailing, interior steam cleaning, graphene spray wax, even paint correction. Free estimates 920-671-8984. RebelEddies.com.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bag.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
Have you ever wanted to be a big? It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And if you've ever been interested in being a big brother or big sister, enrollment day is here Tuesday, July 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. In just 2 hours and a few slices of pizza, you'll be walked through an orientation, interview, and background check process where at the end, you could be a big and part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Wisconsin. Register now by going to WGBW.FM and clicking events.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. New Mexico rolled out its automatic voter registration system July 1st, allowing citizens to conveniently register to vote or change residency information while at the DMV. Across the country, New Hampshire's legislature may burden its elderly and disabled absentee voters by requiring copies of ID when voting by mail and citizenship papers when registering by mail. New Mexico passed a sweeping voting rights bill, HB 4, in 2023. Among its provisions was automatically registering citizens to vote at the motor vehicle division, previously only an option. AVR has been successful in other states in registering younger voters and may expand registrations of the state's native voters as well. Local election officials will send newly registered voters their voting districts and precincts and how to opt out if they choose. New Hampshire, despite having next to no fraud, abuse, or non-citizen voting, has gone the other direction. Legislators sent bills to Governor Kelly Ayotte mandating proof of citizenship be sent with absentee registrations and that absentee voters must include copies of an approved ID or have their signature notarized. Such onerous rules adversely affect seniors and disabled voters who may not be able to make copies and younger voters and college students who may not have ready access to those documents. Voter fraud and non-citizen voting are extremely rare, and such rules serve to keep more eligible voters from voting than ineligible ones. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
You've probably heard the rumor you can't regrow cartilage. But what if that's not entirely true? Science has discovered a unique protein that may help support joint cartilage regeneration naturally. Imagine moving freely without stiffness or pain. And the bonus? A glowing, hydrated look with fewer fine lines and wrinkles. Meet Native Path Collagen. A clean, single-ingredient formula made with hydrolyzed collagen peptides. No fillers, no additives, no artificial junk. Third-party tested for purity, packed with only type 1 and type 3 collagen fibers, the ones your body needs most for healthy joints, skin, bones, hair, nails, and gut. Just 2 scoops a day delivers 18 grams of protein. Mix it into coffee, tea, any drink. It's completely flavorless. Easy to use, consistency is the key. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price and free shipping available only at getnativepath.com/Tom. That's GetNativePath, getnativepath.com/Tom, THOM. Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today. We're back. Let's do a speed round with your calls to clear the board. We'll have news with my dad at the top of the hour. Let's go to Mark from Valley, Washington. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Jefferson. This show of force by Trump in MacArthur Park, these identifiable ICE raids where they're kidnapping people off the streets, and even that guard at that girls' camp, where people, all them poor girls got washed away. To me, that's a perfect example of how successful Trump and MAGA and like Fox News has been as othering other Americans. And we're not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not Americans. We're the other now. We're them, the people that you have to go after. Mm-hmm. And that's why instead of worrying about a flood in an area that's known to flood, they got an armed guard trying to keep the others from getting in. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was just an obvious example of why fixing the problem we have right now is going to be so difficult. Mm-hmm. You have to agree what the problem is before you can fix it. And we can't even agree on the facts of the problem.
Well said, Mark. I appreciate the call. I want to let that linger. Thank you for it. Harold from Santa Barbara, you're on the air.
Good morning, good show. It's all over the place, your show, but one central theme is the environment and our political system. Number one, I inherited $80 million from one uncle and $4 million from another uncle, and I want to be a farmer. In my area, the ground water table is so low we have sinkholes. But in another part of Southern California, for example, Menifee, their water table has risen. And that is due to the theft of water from one place and putting it in another place. But you have to remember, in Southern California, we're all imported water. And we don't even contribute to ownership of the Colorado River, but we use most of it. Owens Valley is a perfect example of what I am personally going through. One, I can't get my inheritance. Two, I am the other. Three, as I speak to you right now, there are five unmarked cars. They're all dressed alike, and we know who they are. Stay strong, America. But from the other, referring to myself, stay safe. You do not have the ability nor the firepower to stay safe as I am. Me and KPFK are now one. We are the other. Thank you.
Harold, so tell me about, you're saying you have a farm, but you're not able to get to that farm. I want to make sure I'm understanding not only the theme, but also the specifics.
One, I want to use my money to establish housing.
Yeah.
I cannot get to my ranch because it was like another historical landmark. It was called the Bracken's Bird Farm. It was set fire to, it was fired upon, and lucky for me, I had the highway patrol. And so I am going to go to my farm, and I am going to make the stance because KPFK has made me stronger and wiser. I hope that answered your question. If not, please elaborate.
Yeah, here's what I'd say. I think one of the most important things at this time in history is to start gathering the resource, applying it strategically to build a pro-environment, pro-democracy movement. I mean, I think that's the big thing. I think that's the big fight. And I think about that a lot. I've done donor advising and been a donor myself, and thinking about the most strategic application of resource that not only gives us the most positive feeling when we're donating or investing it, but also has the most impact is, I think, a really critical question. And I have seen so many times when people have been more than willing to give blank number of hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to build, let's say, a hospital wing, and fail to invest in a political movement that could build 100 hospital wings, that so much of the lasting infrastructure of democracy, so much of the stuff that goes beyond any given election, not just sending a contribution to a candidate, but the kind of thing that will help build gifts that keep on building, help build pro-democracy infrastructure, pro-environment infrastructure. This is the, this ends up being some of the lifeblood. So when we look at the media landscape, for instance, and I appreciate the shout out to KPFK, that when we look at the media landscape, for instance, that so much of what happened with Rush Limbaugh was just big investment in that by people with the resources to do it. The music's cutting off, but I'd be happy to talk further. And go ahead, last word before they cut you off.
That's why KPFK and I joined it to him. That's your job. My job is to provide the lead to make sure these corrupt individuals are dead.
Thanks.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
I'm not into chasing trends, but I am all about stuff that fits right, feels good, and actually lasts. I've been shopping at Quince for some time now. In fact, my favorite sweater is an all-cotton and cashmere sweater that just is so comfortable. And it looks great. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. Their lightweight layers and high-quality staples have become my everyday essentials. That's what I love about Quince. They're working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middlemen. Quince gives you luxury pieces without the markups. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. So stick to the staples that last with elevated essentials from Quince. Go to quince.com/Tom for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M,
to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Don't count sheep when you're on vacation. Pack your bags and get away to the Independence Stay Hotel Long-Term Suites in Marinette, Wisconsin. Offering short and long-term stays, the Independence Stay Hotel has the best lodging accommodations with delicious breakfasts daily, saltwater swimming pool and spa, workout facility, and much more. Furnished with amazing beds, flat-screen TVs, and climate control for a perfect night's rest. Book your room at IndependenceStay.com and stop counting sheep.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the death toll in Texas now topping 100 following a catastrophic flooding across five counties. Kerr County Sheriff Larry Letha says the priority is locating and identifying victims and notifying families.
As of 8 a.m. Central Time, 87 deceased have been recovered in Kerr County, including 56 adults and 30 children. Identification is pending for 19 adults and 7 children, with one additional person still unidentified.
President Trump at a cabinet meeting pledging more federal aid and resources and says he'll visit Texas Friday.
We don't want to get in anyone's way because, you know, that's what happens. The president goes and everyone's around focused on. I don't want anyone to focus on us.
The president also says he doesn't plan to extend the August 1st deadline for more than a dozen countries to finalize a trade deal or face tariff hikes. The manhunt continues for a Washington state father, Travis Decker, who is accused of killing his three daughters. Officers now focusing on the Sawtooth National Forest in Idaho. This is ABC News.